Adam Levitan from Roto World joins us. Adam, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Yeah, I love your stuff. Really in depth when it comes to fantasy football, but also just the straight ahead matchups. And before we get to the matchups, when you look at Green Bay, and this is, you know, last year Rodgers was out, and that really derailed their season. They were looking good till he got hurt, and now he's banged up. And I don't want to take anything away from Seattle, but you do kind of wonder what if Seattle had to face a healthy Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, we saw that in week one, though, right? And Seattle beat them 36-16 with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. I mean, obviously, it's a lot different now. I think that Green Bay has kind of found their running game of late, and even though Eddie Lacy had that asthma attack last week, we saw how effective they can be on the ground, especially on that opening drive against Dallas. But, you know, even with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, just going up to Seattle is such a brutal spot for anybody, even for Aaron Rodgers.
What now, Eddie Lacy, he said after the, hey, you know what, there's nothing I can do about it. It was just an asthma attack. Have you heard? Are they going to try to do anything to prevent that? Is there anything different he'll do, or was it strictly just a fluke?
Yeah, supposedly it was exacerbated by the cold, and obviously it was pretty cold up there in Green Bay for that Dallas game. I think that it's supposed to be a little bit more mild in Seattle, so that's not really something I would be too worried about if I was a Green Bay fan.
If Green Bay is going to win, pull off the upset, how do they do it?
You know, I think you attack Cyril Simon and Byron Maxwell, and Byron Maxwell kind of had a shortness of breath issue. He's a normal bookend to Richard Sherman on their defense. They don't know if he's going to be able to play this week or not, and especially if he doesn't. Cyril Simon really got beat up, kind of dog-walked all over the field by Kelvin Benjamin last week. So I think you put Jordy Nelson across from Cyril Simon. We know that Seattle does not use Richard Sherman as a shadow corner, and you kind of attack that matchup. It didn't work that well for them in week one, even though Jordy Nelson had 9 catches for 83 yards. They still got buried in the game. But I think that if you're going to move the ball, it's going to be tough up there in Seattle to move it on the ground, and it's going to be tough to go at Sherman. I think you do it with Jordy Nelson.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, Richard Sherman never afraid to talk about his game or his overall team defense game. And he plays just on the one side of the field. So I know some people question whether or not that makes him the best corner. And, you know, we can debate that all we want. But if you are Green Bay, you think Nelson's the guy? Or are they going to try to disguise, you know, and just put Devontae Adams on that side and have him just run as a decoy all the time?
Yeah, so in week one, Jarrett Boykin was the Packers' number 3 wide receiver, and they kind of just sacrificed him over to Sherman. They threw one pass the whole game towards the right side. And you know, I'm not sure that you can necessarily win like that, necessarily just completely ignoring one side of the field. I think that they do need to at least put a little bit of pressure on Sherman, at least take some shots that way. But like I said, I think that the effective matchup, the one that I would be looking towards, is Jordy against either Byron Maxwell or Simon.
Adam Levitan joins us from Roto-World. Let's move over to the Patriots and the Colts. A lot of people are thinking Seattle's going to win, but it seems pretty split right now, Indianapolis and New England. Brady Belichick factor, of course. You know, we saw Heron now add a real running attack into Indianapolis. Can they run on the Patriots?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I think that Dan Heron's been a very effective, kind of a dump-off guy. He had something like 18 catches in these 2 playoff wins. I'm not sure about this Colts offensive line, which has played great through 2 playoff games, but was kind of suspect during the regular season. I'm not sure about them against this New England front. I've had a ton of respect for the entire New England defense all year. I mean, just studs at every level with Chandler Jones and Revis and all these guys just kind of dominating. I like New England in this spot. I think that the Colts are a really good team, going to be a really good team for a long time, but I think the task here is a little bit too tall for them.
The Patriots, to me, look much better, you know, than a Patriots team over the last 5 to 6 seasons. They're just more complete, and, you know, their defense, even though they've had some injuries, like their middle linebacker, well, their linebacking core overall, Adam, is that the key to that defense in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, they're just dominant at every level, like I said, and when you can add Darrell Revis like they did, it just frees up so much. And I know Revis got beat for a touchdown last week by Steve Smith. I think overall, when you can leave a guy in one-on-one coverage, just frees up so much of the rest of your defense to kind of take advantage and put double teams where it's needed. And I think the other big thing for the Patriots is just a healthy Rob Gronkowski. I mean, we've seen how dominant he is, not just in the pass game, but also in the run game. And their record, I don't have it in front of me now, but it's just absurd when Gronk has been healthy. The guy is just a touchdown machine, and they've lost him to the playoffs, I believe, the last two times they've been in the playoffs. And obviously he's really, really healthy right now, playing every snap. So I think that's a huge matchup issue for the Colts and a big problem for them if they're going to win this game.
Adam Levitan from Roto-World joins us. Looking, to Seattle at home, you know, early on this season, they were a little, excluding the first game, of course, but, you know, a lot of people wondered, well, are they the same team? They almost seemed like a team that was just re-energizing itself. And now when I look at them, like, I don't really see a weakness heading into this game. They arguably look just as strong, if not stronger now, than they did last year.
Yeah, and maybe it had something to do with Percy Harvin. It seems like they really started to take off once they kind of unloaded him. And not to say that Percy Harvin's not a great player, because he is, but I think they win as a team, and they win with defense and kind of a selfless attitude. And that's big for them. I know they've had some off-field issues, maybe a little bit of problems with Marshawn Lynch, but when he gets the rock, he's probably the most effective back in the league in terms of breaking tackles and scoring touchdowns and making things happen. You know, Seattle is just, like I said, up there in Seattle, it's just such a brutal place to play. And we know how much home field is worth in the NFL. It's more than any other sport. And I think the 12th man up there is real. I don't think that it's a figment of kind of the media kind of portraying this as, oh, you know, the 12th man, it's impossible to play up there. I think that's the real deal. It's just so, so hard. They get so jacked up. It's so loud. It's going to be really tough for the Packers.
Would Dallas have given them a better run?
No, I don't think so. You know, I actually caused me a lot this year kind of thinking that Dallas wasn't that good. They proved me wrong over and over and over again, but just this no-name defense that they have. And, yeah, you know, Rod Marinelli obviously had them playing great, but just such lack of talent on defense, especially with all the injuries that they had along the defensive line and linebacker. I just think that they were kind of playing over their heads. And I was actually really surprised that they hung so long with Green Bay, but I think that kind of spoke more towards Aaron Rodgers' injury. We saw Rodgers kind of couldn't even move around in the pocket. He was throwing the ball with defenders draped all over him instead of kind of doing the thing that he normally does, which is escape and make plays outside the pocket. I never really bought into Dallas. I think Green Bay will give Seattle a better game, even though I think they'll still lose.
Going back to that game, do you think, like, and the ruling on the field, you know, now people will say one play definitely doesn't cost a team, and I understand that, but if that's indeed the rule, should they change the rule?
Oh, yeah. You know, my whole thing is if you're in a bar and there's 30 people there and 30 people say it's a catch, then it should be a catch. We shouldn't be getting down to this whole nitty-gritty. You know, I thought that Dez made a football move. I think reaching towards the pylon is a football move. I totally understand Dallas fans' complaints with this. But that said, the refs made the right call for now. That's the rule. I think it is something that the NFL will and should look into changing, though.
Do you think they will?
Yeah, I mean, it takes something like this sometimes. You know, when the Calvin Johnson thing happened 3 years ago, I believe, I thought that would be enough to change it, but maybe that wasn't a big enough stage. I think this kind of playoff game stage, it should be enough to get it changed, or at least clarified.
And, like, obviously Dallas will push for it. And I was listening to, and his name escapes now, the head of officiating, when Michael Irwin asked him about the right elbow being down first, which clearly it was. And I had some heads of officials in the CFL tell me that, you know, they would have deemed that he was down because that's the first part of your body that's down. The ground doesn't cause a fumble. But they gave the ruling that he, quote, wasn't a runner yet. Like, to me, when you see a guy take a handoff in the backfield, it's really not that hard, right? Just puts it in your hands, away you go. You take a step, now you're a runner. To do, like, to jump up, control the ball, because he clearly had control of the ball through the air. I don't think there's any debate on that as he's distorting his body. Like, it just, it's such a mind-numbingly dumb rule.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, that stuff doesn't go towards the heart of the rule, you know. You're not supposed to be able to use the ground to kind of help you catch the ball, but he clearly didn't do that. He caught it, took three steps, and then the ball might have moved and touched the ground. You know, it's got to change. And like I said, I think it will.
One last one for you. You know, the Peyton Manning and now Judge Fox is gone. Do you think Manning comes back, and do you think Manning had anything to do with Fox being gone out of Denver?
No, I don't think so. John Fox is a defensive guy. I think the guy running the offense was Peyton and Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator. And I do think Peyton will be back. I mean, first of all, $19 million is a lot to leave on the table. And second of all, in the first 13 games of the year before this quad injury, Peyton threw 36 touchdowns against 11 interceptions. He was still playing at a really, really, really high level. So I think he's still capable. I think that with the arm the way it is, he's going to suffer in these really cold weather spots. And so December and January, it's not somebody that I want to have Peyton Manning. But in terms of compiling statistics, while the weather is nice and maybe he's feeling a little bit healthier or a lot healthier than he did down the stretch, I think that'll be big for him and likely for the Broncos. I think that they know that keeping him instead of letting him kind of go somewhere else is the way to go for one more year.
Quickly, Adam, if the Colts would pull off the upset in New England, what are they like? Is it defense that's going to win them that game or offense?
No, it's got to be Andrew Luck. I think we realize this is a generational quarterback, one of the guys we'll talk about for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And if they're going to win, I think it's on him. I think it's on him with legs as an underrated kind of scrambler and runner. And I think it's on him with his arm. Volume for me has been the biggest difference in Andrew Luck this year, maybe not necessarily even his play. I thought that they kind of handcuffed him last year, didn't let him throw enough. This year he was, I believe, the league leader in pass attempts. So I think that they got to dial him up and kind of ride or die with Andrew Luck in this pass game.